T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
NFL and NFL draft analyst at thedraftscout.com.
I gave him a 69 overall, so very nice grade for him.
Going through college and NFL film.
Jalen Johnson, he gets it. He's smart. He's tough. He's feisty. 6 foot, 193. Ran a 4.5 flat. He knew he needed labrum surgery. Went ahead and did the combine. Did the entire thing with a torn labrum. So I love this guy.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
On Fridays, we talk football with Matt Miller. He can help us preview the collegiate weekend, the NFL weekend, and talk about everything that's happening in this wild and wacky sport. We've had a few wilder or wackier weeks than the last one. Matt Miller is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, thedraftscout.com. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So the dust has settled a bit now, Matt, and let's start with this strange college football environment. I retweeted your tweet where you just sort of stepped back and you said the Oklahoma job and the Notre Dame job are open because the coaches chose to leave for other jobs. And you said something like wild times or what a world or something like that. Indeed, you were right.
And it only got crazier from there, it feels like, right? I mean, we got Brian Kelly doing a fake Southern accent. We've got Notre Dame promoting a 35-year-old, you know, one-time defensive coordinator. It is crazy. And I think this is – people who cover college football, you know, it's like it's a different animal than the NFL because you don't have as much news that breaks that is going to dominate the headlines, right? Like news breaks and it's like, oh, Akron hired Joe Moorhead. That's a good hire. But people outside of Oregon and Akron probably don't care. But this week was different because Lincoln Riley leaving to go to USC is national news. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU is national news as well, honestly. So I think that's what made it such a fun week, and especially for those people that cover it full-time, is you got to feel like Adam Schefter a little bit if you're Bruce Feldman or Pete Thamel where you're actually breaking this news. So it's crazy. And, you know, I love college football. It is my favorite sport out of all of them. And it's been fun to just kind of sit back and watch the change. You know, you're never going to convince me that Lincoln Riley's not afraid of the SEC, that he looked at the SEC and was like, I can't win the SEC with my offense and the fact that my defense sucks every year. Can't do it. You know where I could win? The Pac-12. Or that Brian Kelly says, you know what, I can make the playoff every year. I'm that good of a coach. Can't win it with the academic restrictions I have at Notre Dame or the fact that we don't play a conference schedule. Go to LSU, and I'm excited for those guys to get to those destinations, to see what Lincoln Riley can do with the athletes in Southern California, to see what Brian Kelly can do with the offensive defensive line recruits in Louisiana and Texas. It's going to be fun to watch and see how the landscape changes, especially for my job as far as, you know, NFL draft evaluation goes.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when it came to Lincoln Riley. To me, that said everything. And I know it was necessary for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC because of how we've seen recruiting in their direction. Like A&M joining the SEC had a marked effect on their recruiting. So to me, it was a domino effect of seeing what was going to happen after that. And I think Lincoln Riley was one of the first indications that this was effective.
Oh, yeah. And I can tell you, as a Texas fan, we're all sitting here wondering, like, why the hell do we hire Steve Sarkisian when Brian Kelly might have been available? Or, you know, like you see these guys move and you're like, okay, were they available a year ago? Because it seems like everybody is available if you're willing to pay $9.5 million a year. And so it will be, I think, fun, Layla. And whether it's the fear of the SEC or Brian Kelly realizing at 60 years old, that to get over that hump, to be a national championship winner, you're going to have to get to a different type of program. And I am excited for Marcus Freeman. I can remember scouting him when he was coming out of college even. So I'm excited to see what he builds at Notre Dame. I think it says a lot that the assistant coaches, by and large, stood by him for Tommy Reese to, you know, give that impassioned speech about, you know, we're staying here. We believe in this program. We believe in you as players. I think we're, you know, obviously we knew we were going to see a shift in college football with Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and the domino effect that came from that. But, man, I feel like the Lincoln Riley hire and the Brian Kelly hire, we're going to see even more of a change, because whatever you think about those two gentlemen as coaches or human beings, they're really good at their jobs and they're really good at preparing players for the NFL. And so we are going to see a shift, and USC is going to be a force to reckon with. I think we can see that already with how many players have switched their commitment or reopened their recruiting. They're 2 years, USC is going to be dominating the Pac-12 again.
Meanwhile, the parity among the Power Five conferences, I think, continued last week. What did you see? What did you find out about the talent on display between Oklahoma State or Ohio State and Michigan? And then also what we saw as the result. I'm pretty sure Michigan fans will be celebrating that one for a while.
Yeah, but what you have to worry about is don't let that be your Super Bowl. You know, we saw that with Michigan State. They beat Michigan. That was the Super Bowl. They got beat the next week by Purdue, I think it was. You know, so you can't – and I think Jim Harbaugh knows that, but you can't let that be your defining win of the season. So they have a very tough Iowa team tomorrow that they better be buckled up for. But I think with Michigan, my biggest, like, impact statement from that game was this Michigan team's a lot tougher than I'm used to seeing Michigan teams be. You know, Hassan Haskins – is a beast at running back, and their offensive line doesn't have, you know, the first round recruits and the top players, but they're a really strong unit. Stuber, their right tackle, had a great game against Ohio State, and they just play such an aggressive brand of football, especially, you know, on defense. You can look at Aiden Hutchinson, who I hope Dan is voting for Heisman. David Ojabo had a great game. Daxton Hill at safety had a great game. They're just a much more physical Michigan team, and I think Ohio State, it's not a knock on them to say they were kind of a finesse team this year. They lost some of that toughness that we were used to in the run game. It's a slower linebacking corps. Like, they just, you know, we saw it against Oregon. We saw it against Michigan. They're a good team, but they're not a great team this year. And I think that the physicalness of Michigan in the snow at home was a huge difference maker.
Are you mentioned Heisman, and I am trying to get this figured out. I know we have Joe Ostrowski coming up next to talk about sports wagering, and this is not something, obviously, as a voter, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure in the fine print it says I'm not allowed. I don't wager anyway, but I don't mind talking about some of this because I'm just trying to be as fair and objective as possible, trying to get it right. Do you really think Aiden Hutchinson should win the Heisman?
It should be him or Will Anderson, the pass rusher from Alabama. I mean, I think you could probably pick one at this point. Like, no offensive player has played well enough to warrant the Heisman. I mean, you're a voter, I'm not. But the fine print on that thing says, who is the most outstanding player in college football this season? In my opinion, it's not Bryce Young, it's not CJ Stroud, it's not Kenny Pickett. If we're being honest and saying who is the most outstanding player in college football, it's Aiden Hutchinson or Will Anderson. And I think that is my biggest complaint with the Heisman, and not with you, Dan, but with Heisman voters in general, is that they are so set in their ways that they refuse to look outside the box. Instead, it's people who get in a room and say, who's the best quarterback or running back east of the Mississippi, and that, or east of the Rocky Mountains. I'll throw my stretch of land in the country is included in that. But, you know, for the most part, it is an Eastern to Midwest bias, and it goes to the quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. If you watched Aiden Hutchinson against Ohio State last week, where he had like 19 pressures against a left tackle from Ohio State who had given up one sack in his career, he was a 5-star recruit, the top offensive tackle in his recruiting class. He shut down George Karloftis from Purdue. He had given up one freaking sack, and Aiden Hutchinson made him look like a walk-on. Like, that to me is your Heisman moment. That's your defining game of a player single-handedly altering the shape of college football this season. Like, to me, that's a Heisman winner.
I want to also talk about Rookie of the Year for a second, because there's a school of thought that Micah Parsons might have bested Mac Jones in the performance he had last night and just what he's been able to put together. I still think Mac Jones is the favorite, but it's worth discussing. What have you seen out of the both of them, and then also just the rookie class in the NFL based on what you know from before?
it's kind of similar to the Heisman conversation, right? Like, are we really going to give this to the best rookie, or are we going to give it to the best rookie quarterback? And Mac Jones has played phenomenal football. Like, they won six straight. I mean, they're playing great, great ball. And he deserves to be the offensive rookie of the year. To be the actual rookie of the year, Micah Parsons might lead the NFL in sacks. I mean, he has 10 sacks. He has a chance to go 10 sacks, 100 tackles, which doesn't happen. So in my mind, like, he should be considered one of two favorites right now. And Ja'Marr Chase is in the conversation as well. But if Micah Parsons gets 10 sacks, 100 tackles, I believe he will be like the third player ever to do that, or at least the third player since the 90s to do that. So, like, that in itself has to be like, oh my gosh, let's talk about the stats he's putting up. But then there's also plays like last night where he's running downfield, covering Kenny Stills, breaking up a pass that gets intercepted. Like, there's so many more plays like that where he is the impact player, even if it doesn't necessarily show up in the tackles or stats, you know, sack sheet for him. So I think Micah Parsons is amazing. You know, it's a flashback to what he was 2 years ago at Penn State. You know, last year he opted out, and it's crazy just how well he's adapted. And I give Dan Quinn a lot of credit for realizing his talent as a pass rusher and saying, you know what, like, you were drafted to be an off-ball linebacker, but we're going to let you rush the quarterback quite a bit. And he's been great there. So I think Mac probably takes home offensive rookie of the year, but, you know, this race for defensive rookie, we've seen it before. I remember the year Dak Prescott won it, when Zeke probably should have. The same team, maybe they split some votes, but, like, Zeke probably should have won it that year. But, you know, the tie goes to the quarterback in these awards.
I heard this being discussed earlier on the Mully and Haw show on The Score, and it was the idea of Justin Fields with his broken ribs being the Bears' backup quarterback potentially this week. And I'm trying to figure out the coaching philosophy or developmental managerial philosophy behind that. That if this guy is that badly hurt that you're going to put the flak jacket on him, and it's every cliche we hear about, it hurts to sneeze, it hurts to breathe, it hurts to laugh, what are you gaining by having him available to come in if Andy Dalton gets knocked out? I'm not quite sure what the calculation is here, rather than just saying, kid, thanks for practicing, but get healthy, be safe. We put it in their head that you might practice, and now we took up a little of their practice time, yeah, whatever, and now Nick Foles is just going to be the backup.
It makes no sense to me, and that's where I was going to go with this. You have Nick Foles. It's not like this is a destitute team who you're going to have to put Darnell Mooney at wide receiver because you only have two quarterbacks. It's not that situation. So this makes no sense at all to me. If you're hurt enough to not start, you're hurt enough to not play. It should be that simple. And I think we saw Miami do this with Tua as well. Where it's like, oh, he's hurt, he's not going to start. He ended up in the game in like the second quarter. It makes no sense at all. Like, put the guy out there. If he's healthy enough to be the number two, he's healthy enough to play. But, you know, it goes down. And I think, you know, you guys will eventually do a great postmortem on the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, and this will be a small blip in it. But it's just one of those head scratching, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what message are you trying to send? Or, like, what are you trying to, like, propaganda into this situation of, like, oh, no, he's hurt, but maybe he'll play? Like, so many of the things that they do just don't make sense to me. And I think they don't make sense to you guys, and they don't make sense to the fan base. And that's why it's hard to, like, garner any support for them, because they do dumb things like this where you're like, why? Like, what? Why is this the philosophy of, oh, well, he's hurt, Andy's going to start, but if Andy gets hurt, we'll put him in, even though he has cracked ribs that weren't cracked initially and now are. It just, again, it's just the Bears, man.
I also like that people are calling him cracked. Like, that's just a cute term for broken. They're broken, right? Ribs. Like, when you have a cracked leg, you have a broken leg. So I always
giggle
at that.
Very good point.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about this weekend slate of games as far as not just Heisman contention, but also some expectations that we're seeing. Georgia-Alabama, SEC championship game. I mean, that's the heavy hitter here. How excited are you for that one? And then also, I am very excited to see Michigan-Iowa. And then, of course, what I call the People's Conference Championship, University of Houston against Cincinnati. But let's start with the SEC.
SEC, I mean, that's the one, right? That's the one that everybody's going to be dialed in on. It has like 47 prospects, I think is what I counted, draft prospects that I'll be having to evaluate over the next 3 months rewatching that game. But I think it's an interesting tale of two very different teams. You know, Georgia has one of the best defenses I've ever seen. They have a great running attack, you know, that's really like a three-headed monster. But they've basically been a rotation at quarterback, you know, a couple different guys in there. And then you have Alabama with this superstar quarterback who has struggled at times, a defense that looks tired, and an offense that, you know, last week took them four quarters to finally figure things out. So I think that is the interesting subplot here is Alabama's offense has struggled lately, and Georgia has the best defense that anyone's seen since, like, 2001 Miami. So that is the tale of the game is can Nick Saban get that offense going? Can they score enough points? Because Georgia doesn't – they don't allow. You know, I think they've allowed 81 points on the season. Like, they're not letting you go out there and score. So that's the big thing to me is, like, has Alabama almost been, like, holding something back? Do they – you know, to be cliche, do they completely open the playbook up tomorrow? Because they're going to have to do something to get one over on Georgia.
It's funny, we were just talking about that. Are the Bears going to do that? You know, BetQL right now gives the Bears a 22.7% chance to beat the Cardinals. And I'm thinking, like you say, open the playbook. This, to me, stacks up as one of those what-the-hell games.
Oh, I mean, both the Alabama-Georgia and Arizona-Chicago games, they both do. Arizona's got Kyler Murray coming back, coming off the bye. Yeah, but I do think Alabama-Georgia has a chance to be what I will consider a great game, but what I think a lot of casual fans, it's going to be one of those probably like 17, 13 games. It's just most people find boring as hell. It's only going to take 3 hours, but, you know, the rest of us are like geeking out over, you know, run schemes and how people, you know, linebackers are filling their gaps. But there is just so much talent between those two teams that it is truly like if you are already looking ahead to the 2022 draft, it is a must-watch game.
We also want to remind you it is Window Works Bears Friday here on The Score with half price savings at mywindowworks.com. And I want to also ask you quickly, because I know we're running out of time, you just did another mock draft. Is there anything you learned in this version that you didn't see in the first two?
No, I think what's happening right now, Layla, is like the draft order is dominated by three teams. The Jets have back-to-back picks in the top 10. The Giants have back-to-back picks in the top 10. The Eagles have back-to-back picks in the top 10, but also have three of the top 15. So what you're seeing are teams that really have a chance to load up with, you know, top-tier players. You know, top 15 picks should be year-one impact players. So they have a great opportunity to really turn three franchises around that haven't been very good. The other thing is that, you know, the quarterbacks continue to fall. Even when you try to account for someone's going to overdraft a quarterback, the first one I had coming off the board was at number 8 overall. So while there are a lot of quarterbacks in this three-round mock draft, there aren't many drafted very highly.
We finally reached that point then, because, you know, my theory is by the time the draft rolls around, they're going to rise, and it just happens. Like even guys who, you yeah. know, right now kind of suck, they'll be overdrafted because enough people talk yeah. themselves into them. Is this going to be the outlier year, or are teams learning their lesson, saying don't get caught up?
No, I don't think it will be the outlier year. I think teams are going to find a redeeming quality in each of these players, which they do have. You know, with Desmond Ridder, you can look at the experience, the dual threat nature, you know, the arm talent, and you're going to overlook that his accuracy is kind of spotty at times. And, you know, with Malik Willis, you're going to say his best receiver is a, you know, 5'7" white kid who I think is a freshman. Like, okay, well, he's not playing with Alabama's wide receiver core. So you're going to assume that he's going to be better with better competition or better talent around him. You know, Matt Corral's had a very good year at Ole Miss. Sam Howell started slowly, but really came back. Kenny Pickett, despite having 8-inch hands, has been phenomenal, you know, rocking the two gloves for Pitt. So I think each quarterback has a redeeming quality that.
And that's not a Heisman candidate for you?
Needs one.
Kenny Pickett, not a Heisman consideration?
He should be in New York. Like, he should get some votes. I don't think he's the best player in college football. If you could start a college football team right now, Dan, with any player in the country, where's Kenny Pickett on your list?
Not high.
Exactly. So he's not a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, maybe we overcomplicate
different things, though. Those are
he's a quarterback.
I know, but performance in college is different than whether or not I want you to be on my NFL team.
Oh, but even if you were starting a college team, you wouldn't pick Kenny Pickett to be your quarterback. No. There's no way.
No, I wouldn't. You're right.
Love Kenny Pickett, though. He's a great kid. He really is.
You don't like Kenny Pickett. I can tell. That was a perfunctory there. Love Kenny Pickett. Have a great weekend, and thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Matt.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.